some of these societies where everything's secret and under the table, okay? We want you to understand. We want you to know what happens. I talked to you about 10% this morning. I need to tell you about our church. Our church gives to the State Association and the Colbert Lauderdale Association for all of the ministries that we have. And those ministries encompass missionaries all over the world. Those ministries encompass here on a local level our disaster relief team that when things happen in Texas, Arkansas, Alabama, or wherever, that we send these trucks out and they send these men out and the chaplains that go out. All of the things that the Baptists do, 14%, am I right, Judy, on the percentage? 14% of what comes into our church. If we have an offering of $1,000 today, $140 goes into that to be used strictly 100% for God's work. The rest of the money that we take in at our church goes here to work in our community. But we believe strongly if you're going to be a part of an association, support the association. God wants us to give individually, so our church has to do the same thing. And so we're proud that we're able to do that. Okay, so God wants for us to be financially free, folks. He doesn't want us to be in a burden, but He'll allow us to live in a prison of our own making if we want to. We have that ability to do. Now, I'm going to give you top 10 signs that you're broke, okay? American Express calls and says, please leave home without it. You're formulating a plan to rob the church food pantry. The long-distance companies quit calling you to change. You rob Peter, then pay Paul. Then rob Paul, excuse me, rob Paul. You clean your house for the purpose of finding change. You think of a lottery ticket as an investment. And let me tell you, this is something, this just a little side note on this. I had a lady in a former church I pastored. And as a matter of fact, she was a deacon's wife, so all you deacon's wives, listen up. She bought lottery tickets every week. And she told me, she explained to me that God's going to get 10% of what she wins. Her justification, okay? And now, Cody, give me just a little more volume. Okay, so she really looked at it that way. Okay, your baloney has no first name. At communion, you go back for seconds. You can't even pay attention. All right, and last, McDonald's is your source for all your condiments. You go in there to get your condiments to take home. Now, that's courtesy of Brian Mabby. So I just want to start off something light, because if you've ever experienced runaway debt, you know how scary it can be. Life deteriorates into juggling, the juggling act of delaying until the last minute and then paying only the most crucial bill. The phone rings, you don't answer it. It's probably another creditor wanting to know, when am I going to get my check? You know you're behind. Don't you hate it when people call and tell you behind, because you know that? But they do it, don't they? Okay. You know things are bad when you hide your car and park it at the neighbor's house so the repo man can't find you or won't find you. And folks, y'all know that that's a business that I'm in. And people do this. And they hide their cars and things like that. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you're headed there. I hope and pray not. I have been there. Okay? I will admit I have been there. I think one of the worst times in my life was when we took my baby son's piggy bank and broke it open to go to the store and buy a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter. I think financially that was as bad as I've ever been in my entire life. However, God will see you through, no matter what. Now, let's read our text. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and it's going to be verse 6 through 10, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought, listen to this, nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You hear people say that all the time? Hey, now you can say, hey, that's 1 Timothy 6, chapter 7, verse 7. Nothing in this world, and folks, nothing out of this world. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Bow with me as we pray. Father, I ask your blessings tonight as we talk about how we are to manage your money. Help us to understand and realize, Lord, that this is your money. It's not our money. And what we should do and what your scripture says. Bless each person, Lord, for being here tonight. In Christ's holy, precious name, amen. Okay, verse 7 says, we brought nothing into this world. What we're going to take with us when we leave? Nothing. I have yet to see a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. Put my picture up there, Cody. I found that years ago, and I've just been waiting to use that picture right there. Have you ever been, and I've been to a lot of funerals. I've done a lot of funerals, but I've also been to a lot of funerals. Have you ever seen a hearse drive up at a graveyard with a U-Haul trailer behind it? No, it's just not going to happen. Where does that say in verse 8 that cars, houses, and things, it doesn't? Verse 8 tells us, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Now, are we satisfied with these?
No.
That's why, folks, we are in debt. That's why people go in debt. Verse 9, we're not condemning rich at all. Being rich is not a sin if the wealth does not affect your serving and living for God. Now listen to me. Being rich is not a sin. Having all of the wonderful things in this world is not a sin. As long as you are living and serving God, and he is your priority. Okay? So don't ever look at somebody, and I've been guilty of doing it, and maybe you have, I don't know. Oh, they got it made. Look what they inherited and such. Look what they did. Well, in most cases, folks, if they've still got it after inherited it, they were wise stewards of it too. Because God wants us to take care of all of the things that he's blessed us with. Now, serving and living God, if they're doing that, that is just perfectly wonderful. But those who try for too much, too fast, will fall into temptation, snares, and will drown in destruction. And then we see major stress coming into the picture. How many of you remember the old Tennessee Ernie Ford song? You load 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, because I owe my soul to the company store. Y'all remember that, don't you? Oh, boy, we're telling our age, aren't we? We look at that, okay. You may be like the majority of Americans in bondage to payments of all kinds. Statistically, most people in this room have, this is statistically now, $8,000 worth of credit card debt. That's on top of your car payments, your mortgages. You haven't gone under yet, but you feel trapped from all of the ballooning bills. Now, one thing I want to tell you up front, and I have tried it very much, you can't borrow yourself out of debt. It won't work. It won't work. I used to have a car. I called it my $100,000 Escort. Now, I'm serious. When I was self-employed, trying to get a business going, trying to get our insurance business going, and man, it was just tough. It was tough. So I would go down to Norwest Financial on Court Street. If any of y'all remember where Norwest Financial is, not there anymore. And Norm, the manager, I'd walk in, he'd say, "How much you need this time, Tom?" "Well, Norm, I could sure use $1,000. It'll get me by the next month. Things get better." 3 or 4 months later, I'd go back in, "How much you need this time, Tom?" Bless his heart, he always loaned me the money. But you know, he doesn't trust me enough because I had to give him title to my Escort. So I had a $100,000 Escort before it was over. Y'all never drove one that good, have you? Say, now, I won't tell you these little things right here so you know I know what I'm talking about, okay? I mean, I know what it's like to be so broke you can't pay attention, you know? It is just terrible when that happens. But anyway, all these bills start ballooning because we see something we want, and we buy it. And most of the time, we charge it. We buy it on credit. Now, if this describes you, I've got some good news for you. There is a way out. It's not quick, and it's not easy. It requires commitment and discipline, but you can be free. You can get out of debt for good. If you're in debt and you'd like to get out of debt for good, would you say amen? Good deal. Okay. The problem is not a lack of money. The problem is not the amount of your income. The problem is a lack of control of your desires. Because if it was a lack of your income, the bank wouldn't loan you the money. What always got me when I was self-employed is you had to prove to the bank that you didn't need the money before they'd loan you the money. And that was the silliest thing in the world to me. I got to prove to you I don't need this money, so you'll loan it to me. Bull. But anyway, that's the way it goes. Okay. Now, it's not our income, but the bank wouldn't have loaned you the money if you didn't have the income or the means to pay it back. Okay. So the problem is not lack of credit or anything. The problem is a lack of control of our desires. God said, "Thou shalt not covet." We have a lack of contentment, not commitment, but contentment. A lack of satisfaction. Boy, if I just had that, I believe I would be satisfied. Have you ever said that? If I could just get me a newer automobile, I would be satisfied. Come on, some of y'all are grinning because you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'd need me a new tractor for the farm. I'll be satisfied. No, you'll need a new plow to go with it. You'll need something. Something will come up, and I just need this to be satisfied. And that way I can live on the level that I need to live on. Most of us are not content or satisfied to live on the level that God has supplied us with. God supplies at one level right here. We want to live at this level right here. There comes the problem right there. And that's it right there. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but before you go buy something, do you pray about it? Before you committed yourself to that 4-year, 5-year, 6-year car note, did you pray about it? And listen, I know what I'm talking about. I sell those things, okay? So I know what I'm talking about. All right. Our wanter is writing checks that our supplier can't cash. The big remedy is not more money. The big remedy is not a better job. The big remedy is a matter of control of our desires. Somebody say amen with me now, because you know I'm right. This is just hard to swallow. It's like taking a bitter pill, isn't it? We need to concentrate on and drill into our heads, save, then buy. Save, then buy. Earn, then spend. Earn, then spend. Too many of us spend, then try to earn. Too many of us don't save. We can't save because we've obligated ourselves to all of these bills every month and credit cards and so on like that. Money is the most important value in American society today. It's absolutely essential for existence. It's one thing almost everyone wishes they had more of. Now, I don't believe anybody in here would say, I'm so glad I don't have any more money. I guarantee you there's not a person in here to say that. Everyone would say, man, I could have some more of that. That would be great. Okay. It's the subject which causes more family arguments than all others combined. And usually it's not how to spend the excess money. It's usually because of a lack of money because we've already over-obligated ourselves. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5, Solomon says this, will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. If you have an IRA or some retirement program or something similar to that, a 401k, you have all of your money invested in a certain stock. And that stock goes pooey. That verse right there. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. So you cannot count on that money being there. Or as a modern philosopher said, that money talks. I'll not deny it. I heard it once and it said, goodbye. Because when you're invested in the stock market, folks, you're investing in somebody else's supposedly knowledge of what they're going to do. I'm always intrigued with them. I had a young lady come to me one time years ago at my business and say, I'm representing such this company, and I'm here to make you a millionaire. Now, she had just eaten lunch. She was an attractive young lady, but her lunch was all down in front of her blouse, which I would have never called on a business person like that. I said, well, okay, young lady, you're going to tell me how to be a millionaire. And she said, yes, I am. I'm going to show you. And I said, is it a simple path? She said, yes, it is. I said, then show me your financial statement that you're a millionaire. She said, well, I can't hardly pay my bills. Well, when you come to be a millionaire, I want you to come back and see me and tell me how you did it, okay? So, where that came from, I don't know. Anyway, we can ever hope to please God. Before we can ever hope to please God financially, we got to get our right attitude toward money, okay? First of all, God is the source of all our resources. We need an attitude of gratitude. I will tell you something, folks. I wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for God allowing me to have it. You would not have anything if it weren't for God to allow you to have it. We are the stewards of God's property, so we need an attitude of faithfulness. Our most important investments are heavenly. That's an attitude of vision. We've got to have a vision of where our resources are going. And we should trust God to provide for all our needs. That gives us an attitude of faith. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if your back's against the wall financially, that attitude of faith is very, very important. But he wants us to be good stewards, okay? But if we take those four attitudes in our heart, I want to look at some practical applications from Proverbs, the book of wisdom. First of all, I want to talk about money and how to secure it, how to save it, and how to share it, okay? First of all, how you secure money. We're going strictly by the Word of God now, Proverbs 14, verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Now, hang on a second. This time of year, we see a lot of people, and most of them have another job, but you see them with a trailer behind their pickup truck. They got it loaded with a lawnmower, weed eater, and rakes and all, and they're out cutting people's grass to make money, to make additional money. Nothing in the world is wrong with that. I think that's very noble. But in all labor, there is profit. They're not going to make as much money cutting grass as someone else is who went to college for 4, 8, 12, 16 years and studied for what they're doing, even though they might put in the same amount of time, because that's the proportion of the way things work. People look at a salesman sometimes and say, boy, he sure is lucky. No, he's a hard worker. He's just not working physically like some people do. But the Scripture tells us in all labor, I don't care what you do in here, folks, there's profit. In all labor, there's profit. Bubba works for a company here locally. They pay him because his labor is profit to them. Okay? All right, Proverbs 10:4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who has a slack hand, you know who that is? That's the fella, the guy or the gal at work that does more work getting out of work than what you do before you ever get to work. And they're in every company. I have had them working for me. And I'm not going to say who my worst offender was, not because you're recording this, aren't you? And they're on Facebook all the time, so I'm not going to say that. Okay, but if you got a slack hand, you deserve to be poor. Not because the preacher said it, the Word of God said it right here. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. You're diligent. Whatever your job is, you are diligent. You go and you show up on time. You do your job. You don't complain. And guess what? It makes you rich. Wow. Word of God, folks, right there. Now, the second thing that we want to talk about is ethics. Ethics are so important. Proverbs 13:11 says this, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Now, here's where you're going to have a kick out of this. A car salesman's telling you that. Okay, just because I'm a car salesman doesn't make me dishonest, nor does it make me a crook. Yet I will tell you that there are many, many in my profession, as they are in many other professions, that are very dishonest, and they never last long. It always comes back around to them. So we don't want wealth. A little line, I can make twice the money. You don't need that, folks. The Scripture says, no, that we don't need that. Proverbs 20:17. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel. So if I stole something, later on, it's like I'm eating gravel in my mouth. It's going to leave a bad taste. And I always have to come back to this. In Numbers chapter 32, there's a little verse. You don't have this one, Cody, because this is just coming to you. Be sure your sins will find you out. Folks, it might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. It might be a month, a year, 5 years. It might be while you're laying in a casket down here and we're fixing to have your funeral. And somebody comes up and says, oh, that's that old crook. He cheated me out of all of this. It's coming back. It's coming back. So remember that. Proverbs 10:9. He who walks with integrity walks how? Securely. But he who perverts his ways will become known. So I don't care if you cut grass. I don't care if you sell automobiles. I don't care what you do for a living, work in a factory. I don't care what you do. Do it with integrity, because God will bless it and you will walk securely. It is so wonderful to go home at night and lay your head on your pillow and know that you've done everything you could that day. And you did it with integrity, okay? Now, in all of these things too, we got work, we got ethics, we got dependence on God. But we also, as far as security, the next thing is dependence on God. Proverbs 11, verse 28 states this. He who trusts in his riches, hello, now listen to me, will, might, maybe, sometimes, no, will fall. But the righteous will flourish like foliage. I can give you multiple accounts of people in my business who have trusted in riches and are no longer in business. I can give you multitudes of them. That scripture is so true. He who trusts in riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. That's a good verse to read this time of year, because look at the foliage we got out there. Look how God has got everything coming alive out there during the spring of the year and how beautiful it is. Proverbs 28:25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. Now, we always see those people going around. They're proud. Look at me. I am the stuff. Proud heart. Got the world by the tail. But he who trusts in the Lord shall be, or will be, prospered. Okay. So, this, what I'm talking about to you now, is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's a long-term financial plan. Work hard with honesty and integrity. Depend on God for the results, and he will prosper you. I'll guarantee you that. Now, how are you going to save your money? How to save it? Number one, by not borrowing it. But preacher, the American way is to borrow money. You know what? I would have never survived, I don't believe, if I hadn't borrowed money. But we have all these gurus out there today. Dave Ramsey, I'm probably the leading guru, and a good man, teaches a good course. Under no circumstances, he says, borrow money. But he's saying it, but he did it. Okay. All right, so don't borrow money. All right, that's number one. Here in the richest nation in the world, 90% of us are in trouble. 90% are in trouble with debt. And here's what's wrong with that. Satan loves the bondage he has us held in. You mean debt is of the devil? Well, if you're in bondage to your bills, you can't serve the Lord the way you need to serve the Lord. I promise you, You can't do it. So 90% of us are misusing the other 90% that God has entrusted us with. Proverbs 22:7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Hi, Bank Independent. This is Tom, your servant. Have you ever thought of it that way? Scripture says it. Hello, American Express. This is Tom, your servant, calling. Yeah, please don't charge anything else. You already got enough. All right. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Owe no one anything except to love one another. If you loan a Christian brother or sister money, don't do it unless you can live without it. And you don't expect it back. Now I'm telling you that, because it'll always haunt you. Every time I go to look at Bubba over here, Bubba, that rascal still owes me $500. That's our nature. That's our nature. Now, he don't, okay? Y'all understand that. He don't, okay? But in my mind, he does. I get up here to preach on Sunday. 6 months behind on his car payment, and we ain't repoed him yet. You know, terrible, okay? Don't do it. That's what the Scripture says. Owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Have any of you ever loaned a relative money and the relative did not pay you back? Raise your hand. Come on. Be honest. Every time you see them, you hear from them, you talk to them, you see, you just can't get it out of your mind. You can't, it just won't go away. And then all of a sudden, they book a cruise. Oh! Oh! I can't go on a vacation. And they take off of work. And that's my money they're spending. My wife, bless her heart, used to work with me in the car business. And the thing that would get her so furious is when somebody couldn't make their car payment, but they just got back from Florida for 7 days. And they call us and tell us, they had to tell her, I can't make my payment. Jane would say, why? Well, I just got back from Florida and I spent all my money. She couldn't stand it. She'd go ballistic. And I know she's probably watching this too right now. But it's true. Baby, you know I'm telling the truth. Okay. All right. So owe no man anything. Okay. Plan ahead. Now, folks, this is where we fall. We don't plan ahead. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. Have you ever in your life made a financial decision that you regretted? Come on. Because you didn't pray about it. I shared with our group Wednesday night about my encyclopedias. I had a salesman come to my house. This was years ago. My son's 51 now, so that tells you how old he was. He wasn't a year old. Convinced me that my son's going to grow up to be the dumbest, most ignorant person on the face of the earth if I didn't buy that set of encyclopedias. And folks, it was all I could do to pay a power bill. I mean, we just our mortgage was like $50 or $60 a month, and we had trouble making it, you know. But I bought that set of encyclopedias. And every month when I paid that bill, my wife said, yep. Y'all, fellas, you know how a woman can needle you, don't you? Okay. Always think about what you do. Now, men can needle women too. Okay, it's the same. Okay. So there's no difference there. But the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. And by the way, by the time he got to school, we'd done been to the moon, and those things were so far out of date, it was unreal. Okay. But those of everyone who is hasty will go surely to poverty. You're wasting God's money when you don't pray about it. Okay. Proverbs 30:25. This is a very intriguing verse in the Word of our God. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. Ants will work and work and work, and they prepare for the lean times. They save for the lean times. The next thing there, and you got it on your outline that we're using there, is by not spending our money unwisely. Proverbs 6:1-2. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in the pledge of a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Now, what that means is cosigning. If you cosign for somebody, be ready to pay their bill. Just be ready, because that's exactly what's happening. The reason you're cosigning is they are not good enough to stand for the loan. From a financial standpoint, a credit standpoint, or a moral standpoint, something is there that this lender won't give them the money without having someone with good credit, good income, to stand there to make the payments, okay? Proverbs 11:15. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. So if you don't cosign, you're sure. If you do cosign, you're going to suffer, because the reason you're cosigning is they're not good enough to do it themselves. Okay? Be careful about loaning money, cosigning, and credit card use. Be careful with it. Instead, pray about every purchase that you make. Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Think about that for just a minute. Just a little bit. Fear of the Lord, I am happy. Great treasure, I got trouble, because everybody wants some of it. You know, so that brings you to the trouble right there. So, to keep your riches from flying away like an eagle that we read earlier, don't borrow, plan ahead, and don't spend money unwisely. And you say, preacher, how can this be? Well, I can tell you, I have done it. I've been where everybody here has been, and God showed me these scriptures and led me to all of this. Okay, how can we save money on things? Here's some good advice. Use it up. Wear it out. Make it do or do without. Gosh, that's hard. I used to think back in my younger years that my father-in-law and my mother-in-law were really a little weird. They would go buy a car, a new car now, and they paid cash. Now, I'm not talking wealthy people. I'm talking about a man that was a mechanic. I'm talking about a school teacher. Years ago, when school teachers were paid very, very little. And you know what they did? They made payments to themselves on that car. And when they got ready to buy another car, guess what? The money was there, because they paid themselves back. They planned for that purchase. And I think many times in my younger days, how I got up in the morning and said, I'll go buy a new car today. I got the credit, so what? I'm obligating myself for 3 years. Who gives a hoot? But that was before I knew what God said in the scripture right here. Okay? All right, use it up. Wear it out. Make it do or do without. Some people's money burns a hole in their pocket. Y'all ever heard that expression? It's just burning a hole in their pocket. Soon as they get some financial break, they jump right back into the frying pan. Interest rates went low. People mortgaged their house, refinanced their homes to pay off their credit card debts. Within 6 months, their credit card debts were right back. Now they're top heavy in their mortgage. They can't pay their mortgage and they can't pay their credit card debts, and so they end up going bankrupt. Be careful. Pray about every expense. Now, how are you going to share your money? Give it to Jesus first. We talked about that this morning on the 10%. So what we need to know is the other 90% is what we're talking about right now. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My, my. You have add something to your budget and to the top line, what? Add something to an already suffering budget is ludicrous. That's what people say. People will say about my sermon this morning, preacher, I can't do that. I'm overextended. You better do it because God wants the first fruits, not the leftovers, okay? What we're talking about now is the other 90. God promises something miraculous will happen. I'm going to read one of the scriptures from this morning, Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. It may hurt at first, but no pain, no gain. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is how we share it right here. In 2 Corinthians 8:2, and this promise was made of a church that gave out of their deep poverty right here. In a great trial of affliction, 2 Corinthians 8:2, great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. The poor widow, Mark 12:42, mentioned that this morning. She gave out of her deep poverty, but she gave from her heart, okay? 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And that was Paul writing that. Now, give to others next. Proverbs 14:2. First of all, folks, begin with your own family, putting their long-term needs before our right now greeds. He who despises, Proverbs 14:21, his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Remember that 90% is not yours. It's what God has entrusted you to work with. Proverbs 29:7, the righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge. Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. Wow. You mean God's keeping records? You bet. He sure is. So there you go. Give as it's given to you, as God has prospered you. Now, this is very important. If you've not heard anything else, I want you to pay attention here. Save for yourself and your future. Save for yourself and your future. Now, this is scriptural. Proverbs 24:27. Prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward, build your house. Luke 14:28. Which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost whether he has enough to finish it. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. A good man worked his life hard and he's going to leave something for his children. That's scripture. That's scripture. Whereas somebody else, the sinner, he's leaving some money, but guess what? It's coming back to the righteous at some point. This is God's word, folks. This is God's word. We need to plan for the future. You know, when I started a retirement program years ago, gas was less than $1 a gallon. It's hit $3 before. We plan for the future. Sometimes we don't always see it. But God's word commands us to plan for the future, okay? Now, experts say 10% of our income should be saved for future needs. I have a little formula that I talk when I'm doing premarital counseling with newlyweds or people getting to get married. I tell them to give away 10% of their money. That's God's tithe. I tell them to save 10% of their money and just forget you got it. And I say, spend the rest and enjoy it. Live within that margin right there. A newlywed starting out in their early 20s, and when they get ready to retire, they are so wealthy, it's unreal. If they'll follow that discipline. It's not bad for us, too. Anyway, we can leave things to our children, our grandchildren, an inheritance, and that's what this says. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. The problem with a lot of people is we leave debts to our children and all. Paul tells us why Christians should work hard. We're coming to a close right now, folks. It's time. Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor. Let him get a job, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. One of the problems that we have in our society today is people have their hands out. Primarily to the government, what you going to give me? What can I get from you? Folks, this is not what the Bible says to do, okay? This is not scriptural on that. We work hard, not just to meet our own needs, but to have enough left over to give to God's work, to the needy, and to our own family. Now listen, put your family first. God first now on your time, but put your family next, okay? Then work in these others out there too. So, here's a conclusion I'm coming to. Is money good or is money evil? If money is our God, it's evil. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. It's impossible. I've tried. You can't do it. It won't work. If we use our money for God, it's good. Philippians 4:16-17. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Or to put it another way, if you love money and use people, that's bad. But if you love people and use money, that's good. I believe God wants all of us to be financially free. And here's why. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Money can be the root of all evil, the love of it, or it can be the fruit of all goodness. It's your choice. But that's God's word on it right there. Now, does anyone have a question about anything that I've said? Wow. That must have been good then, okay? I answered a lot of questions then, okay? All right, let's stand up. And if anyone needs it, I've got one more copy of that if anyone needs it right here. I'll leave it up here on the pulpit. Father, thank you for tonight. And bless us, Lord, as we go to our individual homes tonight. Thank you for allowing us to study your word. And Father, I thank you for what your word says about money.